Welcome to CEO Power Talk, a space where C-level executives share their personal and corporate mission, vision, and strategies acquired to hold the highest ranking position in their organization. Our mission is to develop a collective network of change agents that provides access to resources and opportunities for all leaders. I am your host, Laura C. Bullock, and I am so excited to be with you today. As a strategy consultant, I believe the only way for us to create the life we want is to break through the barriers that paralyze us, challenge the status quo, and stand firm for the life that we want. We have a powerful conversation for you tonight as we tackle the topic of tapping into your leadership bravery. And I have an awesome guest here with me tonight that is going to engage us in some very, very exciting conversation. So let me introduce you to my guest, Ms. Linda Bishop. Linda is a relationship expert and the founder of Relationship Insurance Coaching Services and is the author of Great Love, No Regrets, Building Relationships That Last. Linda, welcome to CEO Power Talk.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm so excited to have you here tonight. The last time we talked, we were right in the middle of the pandemic, but it looks as though for both of us, businesses are thriving more than ever before, and you, my dear, are making some really brave moves in business. And so I'm excited to be able to talk about some of those things tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm excited about it too. And I thank you for saying that they're brave, because bravery oftentimes feels kind of scary.
Yes. Well, and it sounds scary when people are listening to it. You know, they think, oh, you're being brave. I think I'll pass on that. But I'm excited that you welcome that conversation with open arms. So thank you so much for being here. So let's jump right into this topic. And so, I have so many questions I want to ask you, but let's first start by telling my guests a little bit about you so they can be as comfortable and acquainted with you as I am.
Sounds great. So yeah. A little bit about me. Well, I am that woman who other people look at and think, why does she do so many different things? Mm-hmm. And so many times I get the question of how in the world do you do all of the things that you do? And yeah. That's actually a very welcome question to me. So mm-hmm. I do a lot of things, as you heard in my bio. Yeah. I work with a lot of different organizations, and mm-hmm. I may look like I do a lot of things, but everything that I do is rooted in the same mission, the same passion, and the mm-hmm. same desire to have a really positive impact in my life and to help other people step into their own bravery, into their own power, and to connect with each other for a stronger world. I mean, that is the basis of absolutely everything that I do.
Yes.
So I've been doing things for a long time, and
mm-hmm.
it all mm-hmm. started with volunteering. So,
wow.
Okay. I know.
That's a unique way to start.
I never thought the volunteering was going to turn into this just beautiful, amazing, and completely full life and career that it developed into. But it did, because I was following my passion and doing what was important in my heart in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I do has
awesome.
Everything to do with that, with leadership,
yes, yes.
kids, women, equality. You can mm-hmm. stick any of those things in any of the projects that I work on, and you'll find it weaved throughout everything.
And it's interesting that you say that, because I personally know that you're very active in the community. But I also see from your bio and through some of the conversation we've had, that you have a heart of an educator.
Yes.
So, and although all of those things you were just describing you're helping people find the passion and purpose and impact in their life that you, in their life that you have. You do all those things, and it's all rooted in education or professional development or personal development. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I know you said volunteering was kind of the gateway mm-hmm. to this amazing life that you have, but what specific about it led you down this path?
Well, let me see. I'm walking down several paths at the same time. Lucky for me, they're all going in the same direction.
That's amazing.
It would be really hard to walk down several paths going in opposite directions. But what really started it for me was, you know, even as a little girl, I remember loving being a helper. I loved helping people. And if you had asked me in high school even, what do you want to be when you grow up, I would have said social worker, counselor, teacher, okay. something like that. Something that involves people and growth and mm-hmm. learning. And so I really believe that what really started all of this was my love of learning and my need for expansion. I am somebody that loves change and I love to learn. So I'm always looking for another opportunity to do that.
That's amazing. And I know that for some, walking down several paths can be very distracting, even if they're going in the same direction. So it's great mm-hmm. to hear that you have managed to weave those things in so that you are going all in the same direction on those many paths. And so I mentioned in the opening that you've also written a book, Great Love, No Regrets.
Yes.
Building Relationships That Last. Talk to me about that.
Well, that also started as a volunteer project, believe it or not. I'm very careful about what I volunteer for now because everything I volunteer for turns into a job. Yes. And really what had happened was I have a fantastic friend who lives across the country. She's very accomplished as well, and she was contacted to write a chapter in a book for young women leaders. And when that editor asked her, who else do we need to know? She said, oh, I've got this great friend who lives across the country. Her name is Linda. You need to talk to her. And so I mm-hmm. got this random call from this editor then. And she said, you know, this is how I got your name. And would you be interested in writing a chapter in this book? And so I thought, sure, mm-hmm. I haven't done that before, and I'm always up for something new. So I said, yes,
right,
I would.
Right.
And I did. And it turned out to be a good enough chapter that she made it the first chapter in her book. And
oh, wow.
then it was well enough received that she came back to me and she said, you know, you really need to write a book. And I said, yeah, that's great, but I really don't have time to do that. And
mm-hmm.
she said, sure, you know, I'm sure you don't. Nobody actually has time to write a book. However,
right.
you may know something that's going to help somebody else. And I thought, oh, she just hit my button, right? Like, oh, I could actually, this
right.
could be helpful to people. And
mm-hmm.
so we started looking at it. Well, it turns out, you know, I had been blogging for years. I've been a relationship therapist and coach for 15 years, and I had a blog.
Wow.
And I'd been writing on this subject already. And she looked at my blog and she said, you realize you have already written your book. You just need to take what you've already written and repurpose it and reorganize it, and you have a book. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can write a book. I already wrote a book. I already wrote a book. It just isn't put in the right order. And I thought, oh, well, I can do that. And so I did, and she worked with me, and we took this information, and I added more information, and it turned out to just be a labor of love. It was such an enjoyable experience, and we put it all together, and she edited, and we sent it off, and it got published, and I'm actually quite proud of it. And it was back in, I believe, 2016 when it published, and the information's still relevant and good.
Yes.
You always think, you know, you put something in writing and then what if it changes next year, right?
Yes. But it's beautiful that it's still relevant today and that so many people can benefit from building relationships that last, because we don't do a good job at allowing relationships to evolve.
Right.
And, you know, and so we have expectations continuously, and as opposed to allowing relationships to evolve. So I really have to pick this book up and be a good winter read for me.
Well, it's a quick read, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Because it's direct
quick
to the point.
Quick is good for me.
Just like me.
Quick
yeah,
is good for
just
me.
Like me. Kind of direct into the point. Tell me what you want to know, I'll just tell you.
Absolutely. So then you found this writing to come easy, right?
It did, and but you know, I've always enjoyed writing, and which is why I had a blog to start with, and so for me, it was an enjoyable experience. Writing a book is not enjoyable for everyone, I'm really aware of that, but for me, it just happens to be one of the forms of communication that I enjoy. So I did like writing it, and I have been thinking about doing a revised version of it because. You know, it did publish in 2016, and here we are, you know, rounding out this year, here we're 4 years later, and I know more things now. I've experienced more things, and I have more to add to it, and I don't want to start over. I don't want to write the whole thing over again, but I can go deeper with it now, but that is the evolution of things, right? And just like you said, relationships evolve, and your knowledge around them should too.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with pushing out information for folks to benefit from that, right? Which is one of your loves, right? Helping people grow. So I can see
that
happening. I would encourage you to do that. Go ahead and revise that book and republish it and make the world a happier place.
I will put that on my list.
Right. Because I do know that you are juggling so many things. Right. So what do you feel like the secret sauce is to balancing a thriving business and still kind of take time for you?
Ooh, that is a great question. And I think that answer has many possible answers because each day is a new day and not every day is the same. You're not going to wake up feeling the same way tomorrow as you did today because we're human. And some days are easier to find balance than others. I'd say in general, to find that sort of balance is to make sure that that I stay true to myself, that I do check in with myself, that I don't push myself beyond what is a healthy boundary. So I do set healthy boundaries around myself, and I stick to those. Not only because that's the best thing for me, but because that's what I tell other people to do. And so I better be doing it myself if I'm going to tell you it works. I have to know
absolutely.
It works.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So what does that check-in process look like when you say I have to check in with myself and stay true to myself?
That kind of – it's rooted in the structures of emotional intelligence. So I'm very aware of myself. I'm aware of my energy level. I'm aware of my emotional state. And when I start to feel worn out, instead of just automatically pushing harder, which is what I used to do, then I check in with myself and I find out, you know, well, what am I doing?
Right.
Am I spending my time in the best way for me right now? You know, there was a time in my life where I was pushing really, really hard, but I had some really big things that I was trying to accomplish. I was a single mom with two amazing kids and a mortgage and a full-time job, and I decided to go back to school without letting go of anything else. And so I was volunteering in the community. I was going to work full-time. I was raising my kids. And I went back to school full-time to finish my degree and then to get my master's degree. And for any of you who have gotten a master's degree, you understand that you don't get your master's degree without doing an internship, without writing a huge dissertation, without defending that dissertation. There's a lot of stuff besides going to class. and doing your homework. There is a whole lot more wrapped up in that. And that was a really challenging 4 years where I, you know, I slept very little and I pushed really hard. And so what I realized is that I could do really hard things, not to steal Glennon Doyle's line, because, you know, you can do hard things. You really can do hard things. But I love Glennon Doyle, by the way. So I could probably quote her several times.
Yeah.
But you really can do hard things, and I can do hard things. But I have to be sure that I am not always doing hard things, because I am human and I will wear out. And so I make sure that I schedule in fun time. I schedule in time where I unplug, where I go camping, and I go camping far enough away that I don't even have cell phone coverage. So even if I don't feel like unplugging, I don't really have a choice. And I unplug and I get out in nature, and I spend time on my health, and I try very hard to stay conscious about the choices that I'm making. And that doesn't mean that I never have, you know, the really yummy dessert. I do, but I don't have it all the time. But I do, and when I do, I make a conscious choice to have it and thoroughly enjoy it. But I respect myself. I respect my time. I respect my energy levels. I really think that that's where it comes down to, is that I respect myself as much as I respect everybody else. But I have to respect myself that much first.
That is amazing. I just picked up some great tips from that conversation, because I will push harder and harder and harder. And then my body has to tell me, you know, you might want to stop. So I have
right.
to get
and if you don't,
and,
it'll stop you.
Yes, it will. And I've been there and bought that t-shirt also.
Me too.
And so I've learned that you do have to have some self-discipline and know when to say when. And that's really, really important.
Yeah, and you can do that
thing.
From a place of honoring. Yeah, you honor yourself that way. It isn't that you're giving up something. You're doing something for you. So I don't always love to eat my veggies, okay? But... there are days where I sit down in front of a plate of vegetables instead of going, you know, I'd really rather have pizza. I look at those vegetables and say, you know, I'm doing this for myself. I'm not giving up something. I'm doing something for me. So it's really perspective. You just keeping that perspective of, am I respecting myself? Am I taking care of myself? Am I doing the things that I need to do to honor myself first? And if you can do that, then your balance, and balance is probably not even the right word, but because balance indicates the same weight on both sides, and life
on
just
both
isn't
sides,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
but
yes.
But you,
you
will
know
burn
That's
yourself
important.
Out.
That's important. Can you touch on that a little bit? Because I share that with people a lot, that, you know, the buzz term of work-life balance, right? Having an equal amount on both sides. You may not always have that. And it may not be a good thing to have an equal amount on both sides.
No, I couldn't possibly do all the things that I do in my professional life if I had balance on both sides, because there's only 24 hours in a day and I have to sleep.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so... so you have to pay attention to your to work and life, but but this whole concept of balance, you can't take that word literally and apply it. And it's going to feel different to everybody, right? So like if I didn't love what I do for a living, it would be harder for me to find that that place of feeling like I was doing both of those things well. But I don't do them in equal amounts at all.
Yes, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. And in a lot of times we can't. So it's a myth
that's
created over time, right?
Exactly, and that comes back to, you know, staying aware of your physical state, of your emotional state. If you're feeling drained in one area or another, you know, instead of just pushing through it and telling yourself to just suck it up and just go, pay attention to it and figure out, where is that coming from? What would actually mm-hmm. serve me better? Is there something else that would serve me better? How do I take care of myself in this mm-hmm. situation? And make sure that you add that back in. You know, none of us, as much as I like to tease about, you know, having superpowers, I really don't. I'm just a person, and
right.
I will wear
right.
out. Yeah.
Right. Yes, we all do. We all do.
Yeah.
And how important is that to even to know that and to be able to share that with people?
It's important. We need to give ourselves permission yeah. to make ourselves as important mm-hmm. as all of the other things we think are so important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so is that part of what you teach in your relationship practice? Your coaching
Absolutely.
Practice? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm in session right now, Linda.
No. Oh gosh, I hope not.
No, I mean, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for
like
more information. No, it's like I want more. That kind of thing. That's the session I'm talking about. But you know, I just, because I love talking to you, and I know that everything that you're sharing with us is from the heart. And so I know it comes from a really place of respect and honor. And I appreciate that, because not everyone can have that conversation and be truly transparent about where they're at in life. And so I really, really appreciate, you know, the vulnerability at this point that we're saying, look, I can't be all of these things, although I would love to
mm-hmm.
be and wish I could be. Right. And so we talk about that superpower. And as the CEO of your organization, what is that superpower, that thing you feel you have, that it factor, what is that?
Oh, gosh, that has to be transparency. I, you know,
mm-hmm.
I am exactly who I am, and I try really hard, and sometimes I fail, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
I miss the mark. It isn't because
yeah.
I don't care, and it isn't because I didn't try. It's because I'm a human being. And it's
right.
also because I have the courage to try new things. And new things oftentimes
mm-hmm.
don't work the first time. And that's okay, because that's where we learn. So I think for me, it would have to be that the courage to be wrong and
yeah.
the courage to try when you're not sure.
Right, right. And isn't that a perfect segue to my next segment of this particular conversation? We have just witnessed something so amazing and so historic in the political landscape, right?
yes.
By
yes.
electing, sometimes I can't even get the words out. I'm so excited to say it. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris,
yes.
you know, the first woman in that office. The first woman of color
yep.
in that office.
Yep.
And I can only imagine the leadership courage and bravery it took for her to say yes.
Right.
That I would even step into this space, knowing that I would be criticized from top to bottom. I would be critiqued
That's right.
in everything I've ever done. And it reminds me of
yep.
when President Barack Obama said, you know, stepping into the ring, he said, I have to understand that they're going to go through my kindergarten papers to
Ew,
find one thing
right?
to pick out, right? So let's
yep.
talk a little bit about that kind of courage. And what does this mean? What does this historic moment mean for women in leadership all over the world? Not just in the United States, but all over the world. I mean, what kind of shift has it's almost like we've turned the world upside down.
Right? Oh, I
and
sure
so,
hope so.
What do you, oh, I know we have. I know. And you know
oh,
what? And the
man.
And because it's such a abnormal place, because it's so unusual, the forces are trying to turn it back upside up, right side up.
Oh yes, of course.
But it can't. Yes. It can't happen, right? So what do you think this means for women in leadership all over the world?
Oh, this means so much to all women, and not even just women in leadership. I mean, my own granddaughter, on last Saturday, when her mother said to her, "Hey, the election results are in. Here's the president elect and the vice president elect," and my granddaughter looked at Kamala Harris and said, "But mommy, that's a woman." And my daughter said, That's right. She sure is. And my granddaughter, who has been told since she was old enough to even conceptualize language, who has always been told you can be anything you want to be, she said at her whopping 6 years old on Saturday, "Can girls really do that?" And I thought, oh my gosh, there we have it right there. All of the little girls, all of the girls, all of the teenage girls, all of the women, all of the future girls now will be able to look and say, yes, that happened. That is possible. And we can keep going from here. I really, really, really hope that this is the beginning of a sea change on both gender and race in leadership.
Yes. I really believe that.
There always has to be a first, right?
Well, and as she so gracefully said, she said, "I may be the first, but I will not be the last."
I got chills when she said that. It made me cry.
Oh, honey, that whole experience was just so powerful for me. I was glued to the TV from the moment they said vice president-elect, president-elect, I was glued. I was like, I know they're going to talk. I have to see it, right? And I sat there and just had tears running down my face.
Me too. And to listen to them talk. You've witnessed
and
you've witnessed what leaders sound like, what they sound like unity. You never heard in anything that they said, it was we, and it was all of us, and that is what leadership is.
I love it when we can all be involved, right?
Yes, all of us.
Because
regardless
it's not a top
party,
down.
Regardless of anything, regardless, it just doesn't matter. I mean, it's everyone.
Yes.
Nobody should be left out of this.
Wow, that was just a very bold and historic moment, and it shifted everything. You want to talk about a paradigm shift. This was truly a paradigm shift from anything and everything, and it was – okay, so I'm just going to tell you two things I noticed. Barack Obama was the first Black president. He had a white vice president. Joe Biden, the white president that has the first Black. I mean, so it's like these two firsts, and I've witnessed them both. And it was, and I think that's what really drove the tears, is to be alive long enough to see both of those things. And so now as a woman of color, I know there really are no limits to what can be done. And the permission and the permission that she gifted us all, she gifted all women this moment and said, "You can do anything you want. The world is full of possibilities." And it showed how movements and coalition can work outside of a system and still impact the system.
That's right.
And so this has just been something really, really powerful. And so when you think about your leadership journey, where you had to display some level of leadership bravery, that what did that look like for you?
Mm. There have been several of those moments because I've been, you know, riding around the sun for a while. And I would say that one of those moments for me was several years ago when I was working in a very male-dominated industry. This was before I opened my own firm, and I was an executive in a software company, mm-hmm. and the only female executive. And so I had left that firm, but a couple of years later, some of the other people who were in that firm had started a new company, and they called me and asked me if I would come on board as their interim CEO to help them get started. And so mm-hmm. I said yes, and I did. But it didn't take me very long, maybe 6 months in that role, as we got the company up and running, that I started to realize that, yes, they asked me to take on that role because they knew that I would help bring on the right people, that I would set the right strategy, that we would, and we did all of that. But as soon as that piece was done, then I also started to realize that part of the reason they had put me in that role is because I was a woman, and mm-hmm. because as long as they had a woman CEO, it put them in a different category with contracts, with all sorts of other things that they qualified for that they wouldn't have if they didn't have a woman CEO.
Oh, wow.
And I started this started to become apparent to me when I realized that once all of the structure was put in place and things were moving along, they wanted to go a direction that I wasn't comfortable with because I knew that it was going to have a bad result, that there was an opportunity mm-hmm. for us to be faced with a lawsuit if we took their direction. And so I said, no, we weren't going to do that. And it was shortly after that that I figured out that they had a meeting without me where they set the direction and they did exactly what I said I didn't want to do. And I was the CEO. And I thought, okay. So, of course, we had some pretty, pretty tough conversations about that. And that lawsuit did come, by the way. While we won the lawsuit, it sure cost us an awful lot of money to win that lawsuit. Yeah. And that was a big negative mm-hmm. effect on the bottom line. And I learned a lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman leader, especially, we definitely want to have a seat at the table, but understand who's asking you and why.
Yes.
And keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you end up in a top position like that doesn't mean that it may not mean everything you think it means.
Right. Yeah.
So you must always stay vigilant. You must always stay informed. You have to always keep your eyes open and do the right thing. And so I did end up leaving that company as well. And they decided to continue down that path. And I couldn't do that and live by my values at the same time. So I think that is really important. Really, really important as a leader to really understand your values and make sure that you are living them. You're not just speaking to them. You're not just spreading them in word, but that you are making decisions mm-hmm. based on them and that you're actually living and leading from them every time.
That is so important. And that, you know, that is what brave leadership is all about, right? Willing to take mm-hmm. that tough action. Amid all kinds of uncertainty, right?
Yeah, and it can be uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and sometimes you may be the only person standing up.
Yes.
But
yes.
if you are really rooted in those values. I would say a lot of times you're the only person. A lot of times. Yes, a lot
yes,
of times.
Yes,
you are the
yes.
only person standing up. But
mm-hmm,
that's leadership.
Mm-hmm. It is leadership.
But that's what we
and it's
need.
Brave,
we need
and it's
people
brave
strong
leadership.
Enough to stand up. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And we need people
and,
willing
and
to
willing
stand
to
up for values.
Yes. 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 And understand that you do what is right over what's expected.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Knowing that
yes.
there may be a risk of failing.
Mm-hmm.
But you do what's right. You got to break past
and you
the
do
fear.
What's right. Yeah. And you do what's right for the whole organization. You do what's right, not just for yourself. In fact, as a true leader, what's right for you may not be what's right for everyone, and you've got to choose what's right for everyone.
Mm. Oh, you have to say that one more time.
I'll see if I can.
Yes.
This is what
you can.
You get when you talk off
you
the top
can.
Of your head. Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
So as a leader.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, no, it's not off the top of your head. It's from your heart, right? It's from
it
your
is,
heart.
It is from my heart. It is absolutely mm-hmm. from my heart. As a leader, you know, you don't get to do what's right for you. Your decision must be what's right for everyone, not what's right for you. You know, going back to that situation I was talking about, if I was doing what was just right for me, then,
right.
you know, that was a lucrative position. I was making
mm-hmm.
really good money and I wasn't mm-hmm. having to work that hard. And, you know, that seemed like easy money to me, right? And,
mm-hmm,
until they pushed
mm-hmm.
up against my values, until I understood that what they were doing was going to be unnecessarily damaging to other people. And it didn't need to happen. There were other things
yeah.
that we could have done, but they really wanted to take this path. And I knew that if I stood up against it hard enough, then that lucrative job position that I had, that career was at stake. And
right. right.
And I took it. And I mm-hmm. said, okay, then you know what? Something else better will come because I can't talk about these values and then quietly live a different way.
Right. Right.
And so
right.
so you do what's right, not what's easy.
Mhm. Mhm. And you do what's right because you have a strong enough why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
That you can push through the fear, you can push through the uncomfortable feeling, you can push through the vulnerability because your why is strong enough.
That's right.
To help you find
That's
the courage, right.
right,
to step through it. Yeah. Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah, and courage is a muscle, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
so the more you push through your fear and the more you step past it and you do hard things anyway, the braver you get.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, I have a little motto that I live by. Sometimes I curse myself for it, but
mm-hmm.
it does work out in the long run. But it's
yes.
really uncomfortable in the short run sometimes.
And yes,
that
I
is
bet.
when I'm looking at a new idea or new opportunity, then if it scares me, then I have to look at it. If it doesn't scare me, then it's not going to grow me. But if it does scare me, that means that either I don't feel like I'm ready for it, or there's something about it I don't understand well enough. And
mm-hmm.
so that's a place that I need to go look. And so if it scares me enough, I have to do it.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I love that. So it piques your curiosity.
Yeah, or if I just think, oh my gosh, you know, that's so much bigger than, you know, than anything I've done before.
Mm-hmm.
If that's really scary, then I say, well, yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually am sitting right in the middle of that experience right now.
Ooh.
There's something that a project, an idea that I have, and it scares me because I know the impact is so great. And so
can you
timely.
Talk about it?
Not right now.
Okay. Okay. All right.
But you and I will have a conversation about it, though. I guarantee
all
you
in
that.
Its good time.
All in its good
all
time.
All in its good
it's,
time.
It, right? It's, the seed is in the ground, and I'm putting a little water on it. And when it starts to poke
good,
up,
good.
We'll chat.
Okay.
But, yeah,
okay,
I mean, and so I get it, right? And it has me looking and researching and exploring this and listening to conversations over here. And so you're right. If it scares you enough, you got to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you feel like you've received that message that this is something you have to do.
Right. Because if it scares you because it feels like the wrong thing to do, don't do it. That's a bad thing. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
If it scares you because it pushes against your values,
right?
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
do that.
Yeah. If it aligns
but,
with
but
your
you
values
it.
And scares you,
go.
Do it. Try
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
grow
yes.
in it. Yeah. Grow through it.
I love that
it.
When it aligns with your value.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's good. That's good. So let's talk a little bit about, because we talked earlier about leadership bravery.
Yeah.
And so when you are thinking about and moving into your coaching practice,
mm-hmm.
was there a moment where you had to exercise that muscle, that courage, that muscle of courage, as you call it? And
oh,
bravery,
many,
where you
many,
had to
many.
Do something, yeah. Yeah. Share that with me.
Yeah. So I was a therapist before I was a coach. I had gone back to school as a single mom, gotten my degree, and then gotten my master's degree in professional counseling, and was still working a corporate job and having a part-time counseling practice at the same time. And when the recession of 2008 hit, then I had the opportunity to take my therapy practice full time. And so I did. So I was a therapist for quite a few years and then decided to go back to school again. There's that love of learning all over again. There's something else to know.
Yes.
And so I went, I went back to school and got my coaching certificate and started transitioning my therapy practice, the majority of it, into a coaching practice because I also love business and I wanted to balance those two things out a little bit more. And so I did that. One of the things that I did as soon as I started bringing my practice full time and going into the world of coaching is I joined the National Association of Women Business Owners. And I didn't join as a member. I joined as a board member, which seems crazy. But this fantastic woman was their incoming president, and she called me to tell me that she was the incoming president, and I congratulated her. And then she said, well, you know, I am also calling you because I need something from you. And I said, sure, how do I help you? And she says, well, I need somebody on my board who can go through our history, tell, you know, they were coming up on a big anniversary. Of their chapter, and she wanted a historian to basically tell the history of the chapter, all of the great things that the organization had done for women, and be able to present this at the end of the year. So I'm like, oh, that seems pretty easy. I'll do that. So I didn't even know what this association was, but of course I said yes, and immediately jumped in, got my list of all their past presidents, called everybody, interviewed everybody, went through all the archives, did all of my research, and found out that this was an absolutely incredible organization. And did my presentation at the end of the year, which, keep in mind, at that point, I was not necessarily a public speaker. And I stood on their podium in front of, you know, 500 people and did this whole presentation. And what nobody else realized was behind the podium, my knees were knocking together so hard I thought the front row could hear them.
And right.
They couldn't, which I was really happy about. But it went really well. But so I got involved in this organization, and within a couple of years, I ended up president of that chapter. And then after that, I ended up joining the national board of that organization. And as a national board member, I was on the committee that helped to develop programs. Well, program development is one of the things that I do in my business. And so this is also near and dear to my heart and something that I love. We're back to the educator piece, right?
Right.
And so one of the programs that we developed was the NABO Circle, which was the support program and educational program for women who run businesses in excess of $1 million a year in annual revenue. So these are, which is only like the top 3% of all women business owners. So these are the successful business owner women who have built big companies, who all have employees, who are dealing with big things, and who have this level of success that is just, I mean, it's the top 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was exciting to develop the program. But I'll tell you, next thing I know is I roll off of that national board and the organization hires me to run the program. So
I love it.
So now I'm in the room with these amazing women and I'm facilitating and I'm running it and I'm leading it and I'm looking at all of them and thinking, oh my gosh, they are so amazing. How in the world did I even get in this room?
Right, right.
And,
yes.
And so it's that saying yes and that stepping forward. I was not a multimillion dollar business owner. And mm-hmm. I was the only one in the room who was not.
Wow.
And that's okay. It wasn't my mm-hmm. job to be a multimillion dollar business owner at that point. It was my job to connect them together, to get them the resources
right.
that they needed, to listen, to figure out where their pain points are, and mm-hmm. to help support them. And that was my job. My job wasn't to be the same as them. And I think that sometimes that's what stops us from stepping forward into something bigger
mm.
is we're like, oh, but mm-hmm. I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
maybe you don't have to be just like them in order to be in the room. Get in the room.
Get in the room. You have to be an expert in what you have to be an expert in you.
Yes. Yes. Bring mm-hmm. your gifts. Bring
yeah.
your gifts forward
yep.
and share them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, today I can tell you how to build and run a multimillion dollar business because I've been in this group now for 5 years.
Right, right.
Now,
I
still
it.
Haven't done it myself. I'm busy. I am busy doing my thing. But
yeah.
you know, I can tell you how to do that mm-hmm. from their perspective, the things I've learned from them. But that still doesn't have to be who I am. I don't have to have the direct experience in order to be in the room with that level of success. And that is a beautiful
mm-hmm.
thing. These are amazing
mm-hmm.
women. These are amazing human beings. And don't make any mistake, they are human beings, just like everyone else.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. And with the same, you know, with the same challenges that we face every day.
Yes.
Just at
right.
a greater
I
level,
I can tell
I'm
you,
sure.
as a therapist, yeah, as a therapist, I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm working with somebody from the lowest socioeconomic standpoint or somebody with millions and millions of dollars, the human issues don't look that different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
it really
that
hooking
makes sense.
Into our humanity and understanding that you do belong and that you're the only one who gets to decide exactly where you belong.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good. No one else can put you.
I mean, other
you
people can tell you no, but you don't have to listen
right.
to them.
I've been there too, and got the
uh-huh.
coffee mug from there.
Got the coffee mug and the refrigerator.
I got the coffee
magnet.
Mug. Yes, yes, all of that in a nice little gift bag. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh my goodness, this is amazing. I love this conversation. This is for our guests. I'm telling you, they are getting the gold coin today because you have shared so much good information. You know, one conversation I like to have with my guests is I believe this is truly a superpower, which is balancing profit and purpose and family.
Mm-hmm.
And having that social responsibility to our community. So
yes.
talk to me a little bit about that and how you how do you lean into that? And how do you ensure that, yes, I have a business, and it is a business. I have a responsibility mm-hmm. to earn revenue as a CEO for my business. So profit is absolutely a must. But I live through my
yep.
purpose. And as you were talking about those values, and my family is important and my community is important. Tell me how you kind of navigate all of that.
That's a great question too. And I will tell you, for me, all of those things are so deeply interwoven that you can't really separate one out from the other. So mm-hmm. as I mentioned, I mean, what I'm doing now, the business that I am running now, a lot of it started because I was volunteering in the community, because I was linking into my passion and my purpose and the things that I wanted to contribute to. And that developed another skill set for me, and that developed a network for me, and that developed all of these other things that, when the time was right, then those turned into business. And then
yeah.
those turned into even more after that. And now, I mean, I've had to hire two people this year to be able to help me manage all of that business, because there's more than one person can do, which is great.
Absolutely.
And
that
so
is great.
They're very, very linked together, but I also keep my professional life arranged in such a way that I don't lose my super big value of having freedom over my own schedule, because my family is super important to me. And my grandchildren live 1,200 miles away. And so I have to be able to travel. I have to be able to work from anywhere. I also
yes.
love to travel,
yes.
so I have to be able to work from anywhere, because
right.
I'm not
right.
the person. Yeah, I am not the person who's going to take 2 weeks vacation every year to go somewhere. No.
Mm-hmm.
I might stay mm-hmm. home for 2 weeks out of the month. And the other 2 weeks, I'm probably
going to be somewhere else. Let's hit the road, right?
And I'm still going to be working. That's right. I will still be
yeah,
working,
yeah.
but I'm probably going to be on the road. And not so much since COVID, but I will be again someday when that is a safe thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I have, for the past 9 years, been traveling back and forth between Arizona and Texas every 4 to 8 weeks to spend a week with my daughter and my grandkids, because they are super important to me. And so
that's
my
beautiful.
Business life has to be able to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also very aware that the more profit I make, the more impact I can have.
Yeah.
And so I give regularly financial support to important nonprofits that mean a lot to me. But even more than that, my schedule and my time and my ability to give to them in other ways, besides just writing a check. I mean, I'm the executive director of Aspiring Youth Academy, which is a nonprofit. I understand the value of a check, and those are good.
Yes.
We need those.
Yes,
we
yes,
do.
We do.
And they are tough.
Yes, we do.
And I am not discounting those at all, because that is super
mm-hmm.
important, and we need those. But volunteering
yeah.
and just and giving of your heart and your time is the most valuable resource that you have, even more so than your money. And so where you're
mm-hmm.
going to spend your time and where you're going to put your energy is going to make a really big difference. I put a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of heart in the work that I do, but I also put
mm-hmm.
that same energy, time, and heart into the community that I love, and most definitely into my family. And all of those three things have to all work well together, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work really hard to make sure that they do stay interwoven, and that one of them doesn't get left off, because I think that is more where that balance comes in, is to make sure that I feel solid in all three of those places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is so important. It really is. I think, you know, it really makes it so much easier when we're talking about being centered and checking in with yourself and knowing that you have all three of these little engines running, right? It makes it so much easier
mm-hmm.
to know that you can travel and be free to move about the country, as Southwest Airlines tells us, where you can move about the country and be
yes.
free to play and to work. So that is such an important
right.
aspect of life and business, I believe.
I know that it is for me, and I know that there are other people who don't have that love of travel, who feel most grounded and feel most solid when they stay home, and that's okay too. So find what works for you. Find what, where you feel the strongest, where you feel the most grounded. Find your way that fuels you back up again. For me, it is being free enough to be able to decide where I want to be and where I'm going to work and how I'm going to spend my time and my energy and my passion and my love for all of these things, and to make sure that they all work well together. But I have a lot of friends who are like, gosh, Linda, I just, your life would make me crazy. And I respect that greatly, because since COVID and being quarantined since March, their life makes me crazy.
Right.
I can't wait to get back out again. I know, but that doesn't make their life wrong. It just means it's right for them and it's not my best for me.
And that is so true. So very true. I know some people, I know when COVID first hit, I was insane.
Me too. Those first two months were rough.
Oh my goodness. It was very, very difficult. So I think this has been like the most beautiful conversation I've had in quite some time. So I like to end my show with asking my guests to share three what I call CEO power tips for our audience that's kind of woven in the fabric of who you are. So three things that would really our audience could kind of take to heart and walk away with and ponder about.
Okay, let me see. My first one is going to be, do all things with love and not fear. Understand where your energy is coming from. If you're making a decision, ask yourself, which of those emotions is driving you? Is it love or is it fear? And choose love. That's the first one.
I like that. Okay.
The second one is, be brave enough to be wrong. Personal responsibility as a leader is so important, not just because it models it for everyone else, but you, at the end of the day, you need to be able to look yourself in the eye and know that you did your best and that you welcomed learning opportunities and that you took responsibility for your part always.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love that. Be brave enough to be wrong.
Yeah, be brave enough to be wrong. You know, and it's okay. If you're, people that you were leading will respect you more if you say, oh, I was wrong about that. Then they will if you try to brush it off. This, you know, especially, you know, it is from top down. Leadership is, even in a flat hierarchy, leadership still, the attitude of leadership is from the top down. And so make sure, so here's number three, make sure that you are able to set your own ego aside in order to lead, because leadership is not actually about you.
That's good. And it really isn't. I had to learn that the hard way. But it was a nice way. So I didn't mind.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. Those are awesome. So Linda, tell people how they can find you.
Okay. Well, the good news is if you can spell my name, you can find me. It's not that easy.
I love that.
Because I am at lindabishop.com, and that just makes it really easy to find me. But you have to know how to spell my first name. It's L-Y-N-D-A. So it's L-Y-N-D-A-B-I-S-H-O-P, lindabishop.com, and that is the easiest way to find me.
Wonderful. Linda, thank you so much for your time tonight. I appreciate you and the woman you are and the friendship that we have. It means so very much to me. So I thank you for your time tonight.
I absolutely thank you for even asking me to be on this with you. I thoroughly enjoy every conversation you and I have ever had, and I look forward to many, many more.
Absolutely. I so appreciate it, too. Thank you so much. So there you have it.
Thank you.
Power tip from CEO Linda Bishop. And I'd like to just thank my guest for an amazing show tonight. I'd like to also thank my Power Talk community and my marketing team for ensuring that our voices are heard through CEO Power Talk podcast program. I would also like to thank my sponsor, Living Vertical Radio. And please don't forget that you can follow us at CEO Power Talk on Facebook and on Instagram. And you can listen to the tape program on blogtalkradio.com/livingvertical. My next show is November 24th at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where I will be talking about what's next for women in leadership. And I really hope that you will join me. And one final thought. As we quickly approach the holiday season and you're searching for gift ideas, don't forget to pick up your copy of my latest book, All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled. And you can find a copy of my book on the website at www.lauracbullock.com. And just know it's a great gift for the aspiring women in your life. So thank you for listening. This is your host, Laura C. Bullock, and you are tuned into CEO Power Talk.